then it starts already.
Well, we'll see if it's working. Yeah, I think so. If you just say your name and the date.
And the date.
It's
today's what?
May 25th.
May 26th. 26th. 26th.
Well, I just was testing it, so.
Oh, I see. So we start again.
So if you just say your name, and then we can.
No, no. Yeah. Okay. Now.
Yeah. Oh. You don't have to lean on it.
Well, my name is Maria von Trapp. I belong to the Trapp family singers, and I'm number 3. And I'm giving an interview today. Today is May 26th, 1992.
That's perfect. So let's. You said number 3. What did you mean by that?
Well, I belong to the first family, and I'm the 3rd child. The oldest is a boy, was a boy. He died the other day. And then it's my sister and then myself.
And I explained to you sort of what we were doing. What I'm after is sort of to get your story about coming to this country, where
particularly music, you know.
Yes.
But I have an accordion here, so I play all sorts of things. Also Austrian.
Yeah, but
You know, we don't. No special. It's not running now, is it?
Yeah, I turned. Do you want me to turn on?
Not for the public.
We will extract from this
for the public. It's all right.
So I guess let's start with how you came.
How we came to this country. Do you mind if it's a long story?
No.
No. Well, it really starts a long time before we left for America because. Have you read the book?
I haven't read the book.
No. So I have to start from early, huh? Well, you see, when I was 8 years old and we were 7 children at the time, my first mother died. We all had scarlet fever and so she got scarlet fever too, and then she got over it, but then she caught pneumonia, and at that time there was no penicillin, so she died. And left 7 children behind. And we loved music, even as children. Our mother and aunts did sing little Austrian folk songs, and we always sang those songs. And we, at that time, we lived outside of Vienna. And then my father wanted to have his own house, and he bought one in Salzburg, and we moved to Salzburg. So we moved from outside of Vienna to Salzburg and went to school. And I was always a little bit on, since the scarlet fever, I was sick. I had to repeat 2nd grade, although I had good notes, but good grades, but I was not allowed to go to school, so they let me repeat. And so I was always sickish. And when I was 10 years old, I was supposed to go to high school, and the doctor said, no way, you cannot go to school. So I decided to study alone. I love to study by myself. And my father said, you cannot do that. So he brought, he said, I will get you a teacher. So he got me a teacher, who became later our 2nd mother. And in that time, we lost our money. The thing was that my father was a Navy officer, and when he had graduated from Navy Academy, they had to go around the world in a sailing boat without an engine. So they went around the sailing boat and came through the Pacific, and he loved the Pacific Islands. And he was only 18 years old, but he decided when he gets married, he will take his family to this island, and he loved the Marquesas Islands. So that was in his mind. And my mother did not, my real mother did not want to go to the Pacific. She had no idea what that meant. So she didn't want to go. And when he married again, my second mother, she was all for it. And I was 15 at that time, and we were all enthusiastic. And so my father ordered a boat in Germany, in Bremen. And then it seems God didn't want that plan, so we lost all our money in a bank crash. And all we had left was my father's pension from the war, you know, and some grounds we had. You know, he had to sell some land so that we could survive. But it didn't disturb us as children, you know. We had plenty of money before my mother was rather rich. So we didn't really know what it meant that, you know, to lose money. And it must have been a shock for my father. But when my second mother came, she found already musical children in the family. We played every night with my father musical instruments. We called it, it's in Vienna, it's called a Schrammel Quartet. It's a certain combination of instruments. An accordion, I played the accordion, my father played violin. Later on, another sister played violin, and another sister played guitar. So we had music all the time in the house, you know. And she had belonged to a youth group called Neuland, who loved to walk through the countryside, you know, and collect Austrian folk songs. And back to, you know, this was a time when jazz came in, and they wanted to dig out so that the Austrian music doesn't get lost. So this is what they did, you know. And they sang during the summer when everybody had holiday. They went from village to village to the mountains and sang and collected money so that they could live. And then they played Jedermann, every man, you know. So this is what they did. And so when she played, they sang not only folk songs, but madrigals and old church music. You know, this was a musical group. So she introduced this kind of music to our family, and we picked it up rather fast, you know. So we would sing all day, and we could never go alone because we wanted to sing. So everybody went for a walk, we sang. We were invited, everybody went because we wanted to sing. And so my father wrote once to his cousin here in America, "My children sing all day long." And so this was quite a happy time.
This was when? In the
1930s? In the 20s, end of 20s, beginning 30s, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when we lost our money, we had to rent our house, and in the summertime we went to the Adriatic Sea. My father was very much at home there, and he knew an island, and he knew the owner, and we could camp there all summer, which was great for us. It was the best time. And meanwhile, we rented the house to people who came to the festivals in Salzburg. You know, people came from all over the world, from America. We had American people renting our house. And one summer, Lotte Lehmann came, who was a famous German singer. She played Jedermann in that play, you know, in Salzburg. So she rented our house, and she came to look it over, and we were singing, and she listened. And she said, "Children, you have gold in your throat, you know." Well, we just sang for our own enjoyment, you know. But she encouraged us to take part in a singing competition that went on in Salzburg. So we went there and won first prize or second prize. I don't know, we won something. And then we were asked to sing at Christmas time on the Salzburg radio. And one day our chancellor, Schuschnigg, wanted to give a party, and he asked his secretary, "I would like to have something real Austrian. Whom could I invite for music?" And she said, "Well, I heard a family in Salzburg sing for Christmas. Maybe you would like to invite them. So he did, and we grabbed the opportunity to go to Vienna. And in that time, my second mother already had the idea to use the singing, you know, to make money. And she rented a house in a hall, in a big house, which is built for lecture halls, concert halls, small one and big one and so on. So she rented a hall, and we had, that was not our intention. we used to wear Austrian, you know, this Austrian outfit, because at that time it was already brought back into society, and if you went to a big social do, you know, you could wear this. It was equal to a silk dress, or, you know, what men wear, black suit, you know, yes. This kind of thing. And so we wore this, and we were ready for a concert. We didn't have to practice. It was already there. So we sang this concert in the intermission, you know. The critics came over from the big hall where they played performed the Messiah.
Uh-huh, the classical.
So, yeah, they were wondering what is running around here in this Austrian outfit. And they and they came over and they gave us the most beautiful critic, you know. So we came home with that thing, and the next time we sang, it was in Berlin. We sang for 3,000 housewives. It was a special occasion for the housewives. 3,000 housewives.
Did you used to get nervous when you would sing?
Not for the singing, but I got nervous for when we played the recorder, because we sang by heart and we played by heart. We had no music, you know, so it was all up here. Well, we did it often enough at home, you know, just for our enjoyment. So, and this is started, and we sang in Belgium and in Paris, which was a big success. Then we went to Italy, we sang in Milano and Rome, and then we had 2 weeks' time for rest in Assisi, and we gave a concert, a benefit concert.
And this would be all seven of you?
Yeah.
And your...
All seven of us.
And your second mother and your father?
My father didn't sing, no. My second mother sang, and then we, meanwhile, we picked up our conductor, you know. Well, you want me to tell that story, how he got to the house?
Sure.
Well, see, when we rented our house, we had to make money, so we squeezed into one floor and rented another floor. And one of our renters was a priest who was teaching at the Salzburg University, Dr. Dillersberger. And because he was a priest, we changed our dining room into a chapel. There was a bay window, and we had two living rooms, so we used one living room as a dining room. So we had a chapel there, and when this priest went on a holiday, he said, I'll ask one of my friends to say Mass while I'm away, and he's musical, maybe he can help you. And he was the superior of the seminary in Salzburg, and so he came out to say Mass, and then we sang for him, and then he had a few suggestions what we could do better or whatever. And so we asked him to help us on, and so then he came with us to Vienna and conducted, and from then on, ever since. So now, when we were in Assisi, you know, one day we went for a walk, and there we saw the sky over Perugia all red, and we thought Perugia was burning. And but then the redness came up over the sky, so we knew it was not the fire. We didn't know what it was, but then when we came home, people said, well, this was the aurora borealis, you know, which is in that southern place unusual, you know?
Yes.
And she, they said, that means war. And you know, Hitler was, in that time, he came and I think that he visited Schuschnigg, and he said, never will he come to take Austria, but he said a lie. So when we were home on the 12th of March, on the day of my sister's birthday, we were all sitting in the in my father's, well, his room, his
study,
yeah, and celebrating her birthday. And it got midnight, and all of a sudden we heard in Salzburg all the bells ring, the church bells. You know, Salzburg has maybe 32 churches. Now this was quite a noise. You couldn't overhear. Although we lived 3 miles south of Salzburg, but you know, we heard it and we couldn't imagine what it was, so we called the police and they said Hitler just moved in. And they took over the towers and rang the bells, you know, and all this kind of thing. So now Hitler was in the country, and we already knew about his ways, and my father did not agree with his ways, and so. And you know, at that time, then you had to be careful what you said, and because you know we heard already that people were put into prison, and they gassed out all the people from the mental hospital, you know, and so it was not very nice for the future, you know. And but at that time, manager from Vienna. Well, I remember he was in Salzburg, and we had a concert already during the festivals. We were not part of the festivals, but in that time we sang a concert in the Mozarteum, which is a music school and also a concert hall, you know. And he came and he said we should come to America. And now through the film people, you know, they made research, and they met a lady in the community concert in New York. She's 92 years old or something like this. And she told them that, we didn't know that, she sent this Mr. Wagner, this manager, over to Salzburg to get us. So she was really the reason why this manager went to our concert and asked us to come over to America. And of course, you know, with Hitler around, we were glad to have an opportunity to go away. But my father did not want to go unless we agreed. You know, he didn't command us to, now we are going to America, no. He called all of us together and he said, we have this offer, but we only go if every one of you says yes. Of course, we had no idea anything about America, because at that time there were no planes going, only ships, and you know, only a few Americans came over who wanted to take part in the festivals or came to listen. And he asked each one, do you want to go? Do you want to go? Do you? So we all wanted to go, although we didn't know anything about America, you know, but we wanted to go.
And how old were you at this point?
Well, I was already 24. See, I was after school.
Mm-hmm.
But my younger sisters, they were still in school, and the little ones from the second mother, of course, they were still in school. They were
and so how many grade of schools. You were?
We were 9 children at that time. And the 10th on the way, Johannes was on the way.
Uh-huh.
So, and you know, that was so nice, because my father wanted to be sure that it was in God's will that we go. He wanted to know that we have his protection, because to go into a country we had no idea what it was like, with 9 children, the 10th on the way, you know, it was a big responsibility for my father. We didn't feel this responsibility. We just adventurous spirit, you know. So we all said yes, but he wanted to be sure, and he had a Bible there, a big Bible, and he closed his eyes, he opened the Bible, took the pencil, and went into the page. And you know where he hit? Where it says, where God speaks to Abraham, take your family and leave, and I will take you to the land I will give you, or something like this, you know. Now, I couldn't forget this. The others forgot this moment, but I couldn't forget it, because later on I did the same thing, which I will tell you later. So he was assured that it was in God's will. It must have been a big comfort for him, for this decision, you know. So we said to Mr. Wagner, yes, we will come. So then I cannot go into the details, but we finally arrived on the American farmer. There was a boat from Le Havre from France. We came to New York, and I still remember how we arrived, and, you know, the view of Manhattan, you know, coming from the east against the west was tremendous. So, and then we started, we went to New York, and because all this traffic in New York was tremendous. Red and green lights, we went through the red lights, we did not know what the red light meant. In Salzburg was no red and green light at that time.
Well, it was when you came, you took a boat.
Yeah.
You didn't have any trouble getting out of Austria.
No.
But
that's another story. You want me to tell that story? Why we could get out?
Sure.
Because, you see, my father's father came from Germany, and he became citizen of Austria. He wanted to join the Navy. Germany at that time was not allowed to have a Navy. So he came to Austria because he wanted to go to sea, you know. And so he became Austrian citizen of Trieste, you know, opposite of Venice, Trieste. Mm-hmm. And my father was born in Zara, which was an Italian city on the Yugoslavian coast, but it was Italian. And so he was stationed there, so my father was born there. He also became a citizen of Trieste, because in Europe you are a citizen of the place where your father is citizen, you know? And because my father was citizen of Trieste, we all were citizens of Trieste, you know? And at that time it was Austria. But after the First World War, this part became Italy. You see, every South Tyrol and all these places, including Trieste, became Italy again, Italian. And my father once said he never knew why he did not change the citizenship from Italy to Austria, because we lived in Austria. All we did in Italy was spend the summer there. But and then when he wanted to become a citizen, we had lost our money. It was too expensive. Now we see really the hand of God in there, because when Hitler came to Austria, we took our fascist pin out, which we never did, because we didn't want to be fascists either. But at that time, we wanted to prove we are not Austrians, you know, so he couldn't touch us. And that's why we could go, but we had to go, because my father was invited to join the Navy in Germany, you know, although they didn't know that we were Italians. And my brother, who was already a doctor, he became an Austrian citizen so he could practice in Austria. You understand? And so that was our protection, really, that from March till October, they couldn't touch us. Although I'm sure they would have liked to put us into a gas chamber or something like this, you know. And so this is how we escaped.
Because of your Italian
citizenship. We became out unmolested. But you cannot, my father said, you know, we cannot stay in a country where we are all the time against the regime. So, you know, and we had this opportunity. Really, it was a God-sent opportunity. We would have never had the money to move out with 10 children, 9 children, into what? Into nothing? My father only knew how to run a submarine. You know, he was a perfect Navy officer. He was a hero, you know, celebrated hero in Austria, but how to make money for 10 children. And so we really, we thank God for this opportunity, to provide this opportunity. So now we were here in America, and Mr. Wagner provided a bus for us. We had to pay off slowly our fare, you know, through the concerts. He provided the fare, but we had to pay it off. So, and then we traveled around in the bus and sang almost every night, and he had a schedule already ready where to go and so on.
So you started in New York and you went?
Yeah, all over. Yeah, in the east. Well, I forgot which places. Farmingham, I think, was the first concert we sang here in Massachusetts somewhere. And we had no idea how will the Americans like our music. We had classical music, you know. Only in the second part we sang folk songs, you know, with the recorders or alone. So. And the first, yeah, and people thought we should, our manager once said, you know, this, we sang Jesu meine Freude, Bach chorale, you know. And they thought we should sing this for funerals, but not in America. And they suggested we should sing Old Black Joe and Carolina Moon and something the Americans know, you know. At that time, classically, you know, Baroque music was not so well known. And recorder music, all these kind of things. And but now, of course, there's a, it came, it's all over the place now. But at that time, it was still new. So we had to learn Carolina Moon and Old Black Joe, and at least for encores, you know, something that people knew. But we were still all the time a success. And so now I want to tell you how we get to Vermont.
Well, let me ask you one question. You say you were all the time a success.
Yeah.
What do you attribute that to? Was it that you were a family? Was it your music?
That's an interesting question, because the movie people ask the same question, you know? And it's very hard to say. But I was thinking the other day, why was it? Why were we a success? You know, my brother thought part of it was that we were a family and our voices blended. But also, I think it was the choice of music. We sang songs which maybe were a little bit over the head of the people at that time, but it was pleasing, you know? Songs, they either should move you to joy or to sadness, you know? And I was thinking, and then I tell you something else. I think really that God was with us. I mean, he arranged sort of that we started singing in our family. That was, you cannot arrange this, organize this yourself. That I was sick. My second mother came with all that music to the house. You know, the music was already in us. But she channeled it into part singing, you know. And all this was prepared by God, and he was with us when we sang, because we could always feel peace coming over the audience. Especially at Christmas time, you know, when we sang Christmas carols, we came in with lanterns, we had a big Christmas tree on the stage with real candles, which was at that time forbidden, but still allowed. and for many people, when we stopped, they said, oh, you know, this was really Christmas for us. We sang three concerts in Town Hall in New York, in Jordan Hall in Boston, in the Constitution Hall in Washington, in Chicago, in all these big places, but also the small places. It was Christmas, many times it was Christmas for the people. And but the other day I was thinking of a saying of Longfellow, where he says, God sent the singers upon earth with songs of sadness and of mirth, to touch with them the hearts of men and bring them back to heaven again. And you know, I thought this is really true. Music should move you to happiness or peace or sadness. But what you hear now of the out of radio, sometimes this rock thing, it pulls you apart. I mean, it destroys you. But people hear nothing but that music. So